I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And welcome to After Hours, Jay Binkley, with my man, Chris Unocero from Character Concerns. We do that. And we're moving 96.5. This is the final show live on 610 Sports Radio.
Before, as 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah. As 610 Sports Radio. Of course, it'll still be simulcast over here, but that'll be this fan, 610 Sports AM. It will no longer be 610 Sports Radio, Chris. All the hats, jackets, everything else non-exists. Even the banner's gone. Even the 610 Sports banner with the football is gone. I was curious what things
yeah,
going.
It looks weird in there, right?
Wouldn't mind snagging that thing, man.
I think you should have it. Yeah, it looks really weird in the studio not having the 610 banners up. And yeah, we're going through a big rebrand tomorrow.
Yeah, the rebrand starts tomorrow at 5:58 in the morning with Dusty and Bob. They'll get you filled in on that. Of course, there's a new show name too. It's not just Fesco in the Morning. It's Fesco and Dusty. They'll be starting out at 5:58 in the morning. I think it's cool. Dusty's going to be throwing out the first pitch Monday night on 610 night to his dad. Is it 96.5 night or 610 night, Chris?
I don't know. I everything I've seen is still 610 sport, 610 day at the K or 610 night at the K. But yeah, I don't know. You know, that's above my pay grade.
It's above your pay grade. How many years you been here? 9, 10? You've been here
11.
11 years.
Yeah, 11 right? And a half.
Okay. I'm barely just a little like 6-7 months in front of you.
So yeah, I started right around the time that Speck did when I was an intern.
Was I still doing the 2-6 show with Vern and Jay-Z?
This was
Pearson?
Like right at the end of that. Yeah, it was like, I think you guys were like in your last month doing that. And then they switched things up like the month after I started.
Yeah, because we only did that show for about
maybe 6 months. No. I don't even think it was a year.
No,
it wasn't a year.
It
was less than a year. It was less than a year.
Yeah, we started in June. And we went through, I think, right at the beginning of baseball season. So we went to
so
at that
it was
point.
Like, then at that point, April. It would have been a couple months. Then
it was about 10 months.
Yeah, it would have been a couple months after I started that they switched that show.
Because I know JC and I did it solo when Vern went and took over Robert Ford's deal,
right, yeah.
With the Royals. Halfway through it, almost in January that year, Vern.
Yeah, Vern.
Over
yeah,
to the
Vern
Royals.
Left. Yeah, Vern left. He left your guys' show and went over and became the 610 Sports Royals insider.
Actually, right I still remember that. We went to spring training that year.
You did.
So we started in June. We went all the way to spring training. So
yeah,
we did
I remember
that.
That.
Yeah, before Vern went over there. But you've been here forever. We did the high school football show on 610 Sports Radio. Never forget that. Me, you, Ron Hughley, Dusty Likens.
Dusty, yeah.
And there's a bunch of us, man. Like 140 coach interviews we had that fall between football and basketball. We even did some baseball stuff, if you remember, at the Royals Fan Fest.
We interviewed, was it one baseball coach?
We had a couple show up.
At Fan Fest, or was it a couple?
We had a couple show up.
That was the only time we ever interviewed anybody for baseball.
That's right. But then we put the show on hiatus for a while because obviously.
Well, I mean, the show ended. It wasn't on hiatus. It was done.
It was done, but we were did it for football. I mean, it was our.
Yeah. It was football and basketball.
We just did 1 year.
1 year. Just 1 year. Just 2016.
Couldn't remember that. But all the stuff with the Chiefs, and we've seen it all, man. You've been here with the Royals rise. We've been out to Coffin Stadium a million times. But I know we're not going anywhere. You know, we're staying in the same studios. Everything stays the exact same. It is FM instead of AM, although it's AM as well, which is great for listenership because now you get the FM people, the AM people, and you're always going to have the online people because I know a ton of people listen online or on podcast or you name it. So it doesn't affect them, really, to be honest with you, at all. Or if you listen on Alexa or Google Home or whatever smart device you have to listen to the show, it's going to be different. I know your parents, Chris, have always listened to 610 Sports Radio, and
yeah.
I know your mom's always been
since
one
I
of
started working
supporters.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think they know. I'm not 100% sure. I think they know. If not, I mean, they'll obviously find out soon.
Well, tomorrow's going to be a fun day, and I'll be here again tomorrow night for that. I've got some fun stuff to do once football season starts. Looking forward to that. Going to be a fun year. Chris and I, of course, will be doing character concerns as well. But going to have a ton of fun with this Chiefs season. The rookies that are playing in the NFL, and always fun with Chris. And 816, so glad listening to you now. Listen on the front porch on the app. So they sit around and listen. I know there's a bunch of people, Chris, that listen, you know, on the app or whatever, and they do it at 9 now. Hey, props to you, man. I know TV kind of sucks right now. It's not really a ton of great stuff.
There's nothing on TV right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to search around. I search around and watch different baseball games at night because there's just the Royals. I watch the Royals a lot, but tonight they're not on because the Royals win 4-1.
Summer
in Minnesota.
Is video game and documentary time for me. That's when I like run through all the sports docs and whatnot. Like I just finished Receiver like this week, last weekend.
Oh, did you finish that finally?
Yeah, I finally finished it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a ton on, but, and we'll talk about it. This fall's, I heard Bob and Dusty talking this morning about this fall and how much fun we're going to have. We'll get into that because there's a ton of great college football news going along with the NFL and just how much of a fun fall we'll have. Royals win 4-1 today. We'll talk much more about that later, but it is significant. I guess, I know tomorrow was going to be on 96.5, the Fan, but I never really thought about this being the last show on 610 Sports Radio, as we call it, because we have to stop saying that. I assume the text line and phone number staying the same, everybody.
So. I would assume so. It doesn't make any sense to change the numbers now.
Yeah, as far as the HD channel changing, don't know 100% about that. It is available with 106.5. Will it still be? Will be 96.5's HD? We don't know.
I don't.
That as far
that's,
as,
again, that's above my pay grade.
My mind too. Mine too. So I just know that it's on 96.5 FM. And 610 Sports Radio. So if you still listen to 610 Sports, you still can.
You still can. It'll be called, what is it, The Fan 610 AM?
The Fan 610 AM.
Is the name now?
The only difference in programming you'll have is if there's a conflict with, like, Missouri and K-State games, where one of them would be here on 610 Sports Radio. Well, The Fan 610 AM.
K-State would take precedent, I believe, on 96.5.
Yeah.
And then on 610, it'll be Mizzou.
But the Chiefs,
I believe that's what it is.
But the Chiefs on against the Lions this week, you can hear pre-post, no game, everything on 96.5.
Yep. So
you'll
be able to
change your station for the Chiefs. It'll be there. The Royals will be there, not only in FM, but AM. Hey, they have to love that too, right, the exposure? Because not only you get that big AM signal, you know, locally people can drive around and hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like I said, there isn't much change that's happening overall, other than us switching the frequency for and us having FM. But it does feel like it's a monumental change for us.
Well, I guess Carrington said they're changing the text and phone line, so maybe they are.
I guess. Like I said, I don't know.
I haven't got it yet. They haven't given it to me.
I have not heard about
it. I'll have to know it at some point. But I know right now, as we figure it out, it's still 913-586-7610, the J Southland Tow Service text line, and the phone number. And what's the difference between live, between this and Alexa? There's a little bit of a gap. But the app usually has just a tad bit of a gap, too.
I think it's like 2 minutes. It's like a minute or two.
Yeah. So
it's behind. Believe me, because I've switched from the car to my phone on the Odyssey app, and there's a gap. That's definitely gonna be there. It's like that with like anything over the internet. Like if you watch TV like on cable, like not on cable, but like on off of an antenna, versus watching it on like a streaming on like one of the streaming TV services, there's like a minute and a half, 2 minute delay between those. So,
well, and the one thing too is you got a little bit of delay, but sometimes on the app, people forget it because it'll, like, if you get a phone call in the middle of listening to something, it'll go right back to where they were talking.
Yeah.
But there's always that listen live or back to live button there.
Yeah. But even then, it's still delayed, I think.
I guess, Carrington was talking that the number will change. They haven't given that to me yet. They'll write it down. In front of us.
But you said you just listen for whenever they give out the number.
Just listen for the number. It's always, it's on my...
If you're going to call in, you're just going to listen for the new number.
It's on my call screen board a million times. Yeah. I got 913-586-7610. So as soon as we get the new number, it'll be right there in front of me.
We'll tell you what the number is.
But we will tell you the new number at that point. So... we'll have fun. We have fun with this whole transition. It's going to be a good time. And it is cool for Chris and I to be here just to kind of close things out. No Fox programming tonight. This is live 610 Sports
Radio.
Well,
Fox at 9.
At 9.
Yeah.
But as far as us.
Yeah, this is, like I said, this is the last live local programming show here on 610 Sports Radio. It will change tomorrow, obviously, and the branding and everything will change. But as far as what 610 Sports Radio was, this is it right here.
And so Rob just texted me too, okay? Tomorrow it'll be 913-568-7965.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
That's a whole different number.
It's got 6-5 in it. 913-568-7965. So that there will be a new number.
I'm going to mess that number up.
I wasn't sure if they're going to keep the 610 one or if you're going switching over to the 96.5.
I'm going to mess that one up a few times. I'm going to have to write that one down. Somebody says our number is still programmed as Nick Wright in his phone. Ooh, was that 12 years ago last time he was here? That's a deep cut right there.
Now you got Parkins going over there too, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, he is. That's
good
awesome
stuff with those guys, man. Great stuff with those guys. So anyway, I just I told you what the new number is, so I'll remind you of it quite a bit. I'm sure we'll remind everybody of it quite a bit because it did change about 6 months ago. It changed to
it was like a year or two ago.
It was a year or two ago.
Okay. It was like a year or two ago.
I don't know. I never know the phone. It's written right in front of me, man. It's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, so they put like a little they tape it on the phone on the phones in there and on the screen in there. That's the only way we know.
816 says, so happy for FM, live in Gower, Missouri. And it's iffy if I get clean sound. But you always have the app, too. You always have the app. But it's going to be 913-568-7965. That will be the phone line and the text line for that, as I should be checking my emails more than I do. But it just did, and there you go. There you have it. Royals win today 4-1 over the Minnesota Twins. Chris and I will talk about that next, because this ended up being a pretty big win for the Kansas City Royals. Explain next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Wonder what you can't do all those promos, man. This is Bobby Wood Jr. Listen to 610 Sports Radio.
I'm sure that they're going to re-record them.
Is that re-record it?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of the whole agreement that we have with the players and the teams.
I'm sure. Did you catch the Royals this afternoon?
You're working. I did not. I was working. I did not. I was actually watching soccer at the time that it happened. Real Madrid had a game, Super Copa, and I had to go see Kylian Mbappe play his first game for Real Madrid, so that took precedent.
You going to get World Cup tickets when it comes?
I'm going to try to get media credentials when it comes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to.
It's even a better idea, yeah.
Am I pay?
No.
I'm going to try to go for free.
Yeah, don't blame you there, my man. It's the way to go right
if
there.
If I can get it for free, I'll get it for free.
It's the way I like going to games anymore, right? Plenty of space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get fed. They give us free food. Yeah. No, that's the way to go.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got if you have the ability to get a credential, get a credential.
Well, the Royals win today 4-1 over the Minnesota Twins. Not sure if you watched the last couple nights, but it's been very, very frustrating.
I watched Monday night, and yeah, that was frustrating.
It was frustrating.
I didn't watch last night.
Seeing Brady and then seeing Lugo. I have a lot of faith in Lugo, and I've heard people mention should they go to a 6-man rotation, bring up Mike Marsh, and that just to limit some of the innings, because Seth Lugo is now past how many innings he ever pitched. And you always wonder what's going to happen to play, because he was a reliever before he came to Kansas City. He's not always been a starter. He was a starter last year and this year. But you always have to wonder about players when they get to that innings limit, places they've never gone before. For instance, the most innings ever pitched was 146.1 last year. And since 2016, when he was with the Mets, before the Padres, his most was 101, then 101, then 80, 36, 46, 65. Last year, 146. He's already at 159 in two-thirds now. So he's already crossed that limit. I still have a ton of faith in him. This Minnesota team is a very hot-hitting team. They're a very hot-hitting team. But the good news for the Kansas City Royals is they're right there. And all right, here's the other scores. All right, Red Sox up on the Rangers 2-1 now, middle of the fifth. So this game does matter for the Royals. The Mariners and Tigers scoreless in the third. Tigers hammerjacked the Mariners yesterday 15-1. The Mariners right there on the Royals' heels if they don't end up making that wild card. And as far as the Cubs and the Guardians, top of the fourth, no score there. The Kansas City Royals 5.5 games back from Cleveland. Just a game and a half back from Minnesota for the second wild card. So not all lost between them. Minnesota clearly has won the season series against the Royals, but the Royals still have an opportunity for damage against the Cleveland Indians later this year, and they get to play the Minnesota Vikings. Damn it, Chris, I got football in my head.
That makes sense. It's middle of August.
Oh, speaking of Minnesota, by the way, I was going to bring this up. J.J. McCarthy hurt today, Chris.
He was already hurt.
It's the first quarterback drafted. He's already hurt, but he's shut down for the year because he had to have surgery.
Meniscus, yeah.
The first quarterback in the modern draft era since 1967 to miss his entire season due to injury.
I mean, he may have missed the season due to not playing.
Yeah, anyways. Sam Darnold was going to challenge him.
Darnold was the starter. So yeah, like JJ probably wasn't going to play very much this year, if at all. So I mean, it's unfortunate for him because maybe he might have got a chance of something happen with Darnold, whether it be injury or play. And he impressed in camp, and he had impressed in practice, but in camp, he was very clearly the number two quarterback there. So unfortunate for him. Hopefully he gets back and he's healthy and he's better for it. But that's a tough situation for the Vikings because I don't think either of us thought he was really going to pan out there.
And Jordan Addison gets hurt today, but looks like he'll be back.
He'll be all right. Yeah, he'll be ankle.
As far as the Kansas City Royals, back then for a second, they have 3 in Cincinnati starting tomorrow. 3 versus the lowly Angels at home after that. 3 against a very good Philadelphia team after that. Still have 4 in Cleveland because that rain out earlier the season, so you have a doubleheader against Cleveland on Monday, August 26th, 2 games there. Cleveland still has to come to Kansas City for 3. Minnesota still has to come to Kansas City for 3. So this division, even though the first couple games against the Twins didn't work out like you wanted it to, the bottom line is the division's still very much in play. No one really wants to seize it and take control of it, even though the last couple days have been very bad with the Royals losing and Cleveland at that point winning games. So, yeah, I get it. But the bottom line is the Royals have plenty of opportunities. They got some good games mixed in there, too. Pittsburgh, and Paul Skenes may pitch. They still got to go to New York, and they've been hot. Soto hit 3 home runs yesterday.
I'm not panicking. I know some people are. I get it. I'm not. And maybe it's just because, like, for me, I'm not playoffs or bust in this situation. I still have stuck with my original expectation for the team, which was be competitive. That's all I ask. Just be competitive. Give us something to watch during the summer while we wait for Chiefs football. The Royals have done more than that. They are in the playoff race. And I'm not going to complain if they fall out of the playoff race. I did not change my expectations. If you did and you end up being sad, disappointed, that sounds like a you problem. But I'm still going to enjoy the season, and whatever happens, happens. But I'm not panicking right now.
I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun seeing Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. Chase 30-30 for the second straight year. By the way, Ohtani's already at 30-30. I don't know if you know that he's a career high, stolen bases, 33, and he's got the 36 home runs. But it looks like only Bobby Witt and Francisco Lindor, the only guys, and Ohtani. Well, actually, Lindor and Bobby Witt as far as guys going back-to-back 30-30. And Bobby Witt certainly has a chance for that. Hit a big home run for the Kansas City Royals. It's fun. Like, the Royals are fun to watch. Like, I'm enjoying this season.
Yeah.
I'm ramped up in it. I'll never forget back in 2015, I asked a question on the day shift, and it was real simple. Would you take 10 years of mediocrity just to have a banner flying in 2015? Like, if the Royals consummate the deal, get the deal done, And I didn't know
I'll take 10 years of mediocrity, but yeah. We haven't gotten very much mediocrity from the
Royals.
It's
been less than that.
It's been way less than that. So I'll take 10 years of mediocrity for that. Yeah.
And we'll talk about it later, but I'm desperately hoping. I mean, sit there, your scoreboard watching, been doing this for weeks, but yeah. I really, really want to see the Royals in the postseason.
I'll be
and
honest.
In the Chiefs season. I really think it'll be fun for this town.
I'll be honest. I haven't been paying attention to the standings like that.
I'm glued to it.
I haven't because, like, That's not like all I wanted for them to do was win games and play good baseball. They have more than exceeded my expectations this year. That's good enough for me. I'm not out here watching the standings like that. I don't check them very often. I'll hear about it, but like I'm not gonna sit here and sweat about it in mid-April yet. Like now when they get to like mid-September and it gets down to the race, maybe I'll start checking it out. But right now, like.
What's Vern call it? The Riptide Final 40?
Yeah. Like, I just want to see these guys go out there and keep playing good baseball, keep winning games, and then I'll worry about the playoff stuff as we get a little closer to it.
The bottom line is they're not going anywhere without great pitching. They've got to have great pitching. That's why they're there. That's why they're where they're at, is the great pitching to go in forward. And Cole Reagans, to me, that's still your number one guy. That's the guy you rely on to stop the bleeding. And I think the Royals have good enough pitching to stop the bleeding, so to speak, and that's what Reagans did the day, but I'm having fun watching them, and I am scoreboard watching. I'll admit that. Been doing it for quite a while, and probably too long as far as that's concerned. But I really, really want to see a great Chiefs season combined with the Royals postseason.
It would be a lot of fun
combined with great college football.
If we got some playoff baseball here on 96.5, it'd be great if we could have playoff baseball. We got the back to back. Super Bowl champions going for that three-peat, and also having two of the three local schools who are ranked, by the way, and are a lot of people think they could at least one of them, if not multiple of the three local teams, could be in that playoff. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Kansas City, baby.
Yeah.
Kansas City, baby.
It's a great time to be a Kansas City sports fan.
So enough about that. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, the numbers crunch, and what's going on with some of these players. How much can we expect from Xavier Worthy? You and I have had a lot to say on that in the past on Character Concerns.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Sunocero. The Falcons finally get their pass rusher. Matthew Judon going for the Patriots to the Falcons for a third-round pick. Gold even put it out there, minus 130 now. The Falcons are to win the NFC South. They're going to be salty this year?
I mean, I thought the Falcons were going to win the South anyways.
Yeah, me too.
Like, because there's just not a lot of great competition. The Panthers might be the worst team in the NFL again this year. The Saints, we talked about this last week. I think the Saints right now are being held together by scotch tape. And the Bucs, I think the Bucs could, very well. I mean, they're going to be challengers there, but that team kind of really seems to be aging in the wrong places. And I'm not sure that they're drafting well enough to keep up with the fact that a lot of their guys are aging. So, yeah, I kind of feel like it's the Falcons, to me, were very much among the leaders there. And I think the Falcons might have secured their spot atop of that division with this trade.
And the Chiefs play the Falcons September 22nd. That is a Sunday night football game that they'll have at the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's in Atlanta, right?
It's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So Ravens at home, Bengals at home, on the road, Falcons, Sunday Night Football to begin things. Then they have the Chargers back at Arrowhead Stadium, followed by a nice reprieve playing the Saints the week after that, then the bye week. I think the bye week's too early, though, being week six for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'd like it to be middle or later. Generally, I like it to be later in the season. Because that, I think the bye week, the later your bye week is, I think the better it is for you, especially if you're going on a playoff run, because then you get that week a little bit later, especially when you start getting hurt more. So, but yeah, it's unfortunate.
No, it is. But the one thing is for sure, one preseason game is in the books. Didn't see a lot of starters in that game. What about six snaps for the starters in that game? So there's really not a ton to go by as far as that is concerned. They'll play the Lions at 3:00 this week. I'm expecting the starters to play more in this game, being Arrowhead Stadium on their own turf. Will they play a full quarter? I doubt it. Whenever you hear, even if you hear they're going to play a full quarter, will they
never
play a series and
never
a half?
Believe Andy when he talks about playing time in the preseason. Never believe him ever because he never tells the truth, ever.
If they score on that first drive, generally they pull them out. Whether it's a field goal, whether it's a touchdown, doesn't matter. They will pull the starters out.
And a lot of times, even if they don't score, they'll still pull them out after a drive unless it's like a three and out.
Three and out, and they'll sometimes go back in.
They'll go back in if it's a three and out. But, yeah, if they get like a decent little drive, like let's say they get into opponent territory and then they punt, they'll pull them anyways.
I'm just definitely not looking forward to another guy getting hurt. That Hollywood Brown was already a tough enough pill to swallow at that point, too, because one of the things we'd worried about when he got here was, well, first of all, he's a tremendous wide receiver, tremendous talent, tremendous speed.
Right.
But he's missed 8 games in the last 2 years for various reasons, and putting the full season together not always been the best for him, but he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, according to Jordan Schultz. That would put him back. We're looking – I think he's back for week 2. I could be too hopeful there. Week 2 or week 3 is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that Falcons game, by the way, that would be a little more than a month from now. So just we're talking 6 weeks.
I think it's feasible week 2. I think it's feasible week 2 because it's right around that mark. Like I said, it's about a month that the injury is. That's what it was for Tyreek. I mean, he got hurt in week 1 and he came back in week 5. So, was it week 5 or was it week? Yeah, it was week six. It was week 6. It was week 6 against the Texans in 2019. So yeah, he ended up missing 4.5 games. So yeah, like week 2, week 3 is about that window we're looking at there. I mean, it's unfortunate. It's football, so it's going to happen sometimes. Glad it's not like a broken collarbone or anything like that to where he would have to miss most of the season. But I mean, we both have talked about it a lot in the offseason after they signed Hollywood, which was he's kind of injury prone. And this is what happens sometimes when you're an injury prone player. You get hurt in the most inopportune times. And I don't think either of us are shocked that it happened at some point this year.
Well, the one thing about it doesn't look like Rashee Rice will be suspended this year.
Unless there's a surprise announcement here over the next couple weeks. Yeah, it looks like he'll be out there.
Looks like the NFL would back away from that, let the legal system play its course. And the first court case went in December. So then you're looking at, you know, not making any decisions till after the season. What happened next season? Probably, yeah.
I think at this point now we can start to assume that next year is going to be the year he gets punished. But I mean, that's a good break for the Chiefs because you get Rashee Rice for an entire season as a starter, barring any injury, and if Xavier Worthy is able to come in and immediately be a contributor, which kind of seems like what the expectation is from the Chiefs, then, you know, maybe this is going to be a big moment for Xavier to really kind of stake his claim as that future starting receiver next year.
And I know that they're counting on him, and I've got his wide receiver coach talking about him up at camp and what are the expectations are. You and I felt all along at Character Concerns he's going to have more pressure on him than Rice last year because he's the first-round pick. He's the addition. I mean, certain expectations come when you're the first-round pick. People expect more. And this was the only weapon the Chiefs picked up in the draft as far as wide receivers.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
The only one. So, yes, they bring in Hollywood Brown, but Xavier Worthy is it. They're counting on him, and he's looked good in camp, knock on wood. He had that hamstring and stuff that bothered him during OTAs, but so far that really hadn't bothered him. But they're loading him up with plays. They're filling the playbook for him. They're expecting big things from Xavier Worthy and moving him around. He'll be moved around, trying to get off that press coverage. That's one thing they've been worried about. It was the press coverage with him at first. But in the slot or moving around as the Z receiver, he can, you know, get that space and hopefully get off the line.
And it isn't just that he was taken in the first round that I think is like helped our confidence. It's also the fact that in this past game, he ran with the ones. He's been running with the ones his entire time in camp. I mean, a lot of people, I think, were surprised that he got pulled off after that first drive, which I think that's obviously your sign. And like, we obviously listened to what the Chiefs have been saying about Xavier Worthy, and everything has been, okay, this kid's really smart. He's a really good route runner, and we think he's immediately going to be a contributor. They've been telling us all offseason that what they think of him, and now we're starting to really see that. So, he's got a lot more pressure than Rashi did last year, because Rashi was never in a – early in, at this point of the offseason, well, in training camp, we were not talking about him as – coming in immediately and being a contributor. We were thinking he was going to get eased in throughout the year. But with Xavier Worthy, from the very get-go, we know that he's going to be a contributor early on, and they're going to try to find ways to get the ball in his hands.
I mean, they had choices. Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett was there. A.D. Mitchell was still there at the time they got Xavier Worthy. So I'm thinking big things for Xavier Worthy. Never missed a game at the University of Texas. Can do multiple things, including punt return. But as Dave Tobe said, they may back off that a little bit with him having more of an expanded role in the offense until Hollywood Brown comes back. The one good news part is they're the same type of receiver. They give you the same look. Now, it's great when you have them both in the game at the same time. I guess the other concerning thing was the day Juwan Taylor gets banged up. But the good news is it doesn't look like they're expecting serious things with Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, I think, what was it, a shoulder injury, I think is what they said. So, that was a little concerning when I saw Teicher tweeted that out. So I was like, oh man, that's not good. But yeah, you hurt your shoulder and you hear they don't think it's that serious. That's a good sign there. I would not expect Juwan Taylor to play the rest of the preseason. I would guess that Luke Niang or maybe even Awanye, Awanye got hurt.
And Luke stepped in to be right tackle.
Right. So I would assume that Niang is probably going to
make the team.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it for sure. Yeah. I thought for sure he was going to make the team just for depth reasons. But I think at this point now, we can probably pencil him in rest of the preseason. He's going to be running with the ones. And, you know, barring any injury of some sort if there's an injury of some sort with Juwan during the season, I kind of feel like Niang's going to end up being that guy to start out there.
I think they end up keeping nine linemen as far as they're O-line. Concerned. O-line. Yeah, not O-line. A defensive line. Yeah. Offensive line, I think they keep nine players on it.
Yeah,
Wanya Moore's going to be in being their swing tackle.
Right, yeah. And here's the thing is, like, because what is it? Is this going to be the fourth year for Niang in the team? Yeah, it's going to be his fourth year with the team.
He was drafted after that COVID year.
Right.
He stayed out for the year.
Yeah, so he's got 4 years left on his contract. Well, actually, this is the last year of his contract. So, yeah, I mean, at this point now, like, Niang, I think, is probably going to have some sort of motivation to put something good on tape because he's going to be looking for another contract after this year. So hopefully he makes the most of it, because if something were to happen with Juwan long term, I think he's going to be the guy that's called on first.
And Clyde was still out of practice today, too, that illness. And we all know that, you know, he brought up the PTSD a couple weeks ago. Denick Prince, he got a little bit of playing time there in that first game. I really want to see what he's up to. But Carson Steele, this is a guy, as Andy Reid said, he's more than just a fullback. This guy came with halfback acumen, playing the fullback role. Looks more and more like they're going to keep that fullback role. I think he's more than the fullback role. They're going to use him in other situations as well. But the one thing about Carson Steele is, could he be the answer for third and one or fourth and one? Maybe so, because the dude is a bull.
I kind of feel like they're gonna at least try it out.
I think so too.
I think at this point now, if he goes out and has a solid game two like he did game one, I think you can almost guarantee he's on the roster. The question becomes, what's going to happen? Are they going to keep three halfbacks and a fullback? Or are they just going to keep three running backs total and he's just going to play fullback and halfback sometimes at the goal line and on short yardage situations? Like, that's going to be really interesting. That's going to be one of the more interesting storylines that kind of comes out as we get to cut day here.
I think they keep
weeks.
Three backs now. I think they keep the fullback, and I'm not sure about Irv Smith and the fourth tight end role. I do believe they'll start the season just with three.
I kind of agree with you on that. Like,
I believe that's the part.
And we've kind of gone back and forth on Irv Smith anyways, being, you know, whether or not they'll keep him as a fourth tight end. But now I kind of feel like, you know, if you can get some value with the fullback, I think that is more valuable than a fourth tight end, especially just because, like, you look at the three tight ends you have on the roster, like, you're getting everything you want with your three tight ends. So, like, having a fourth tight end that basically just does the same thing that Jared Wiley does, which is he's a red zone short yardage guy. Like, I don't know how valuable it is to have Irv Smith on the roster when you do have guys like Carson Steele who can play fullback, who can be that third down halfback. I think there's a lot more versatility with Carson Steele than there would be with
our dude Ben Sennett's killing it with Washington, by the way.
yeah, he did. He had a good performance in their first preseason game against the Jets. He's looked good in camp. He's been listed as their third tight end on their roster, but I think he might quickly climb up.
8 years and Andy Reid's 11 years, he's kept four, so three times he's kept four tight ends, but eight of those times he's kept only three tight ends going into the season. So we'll see the direction. There was a year he just had two running backs when you go back to 2017, so it'll be interesting. But a lot of times,
was that one of the years though when they were like bouncing CJ Spiller up from the practice squad other week?
The most he's ever kept going a season is five.
Yeah, he's usually right about three, and then if he's got a guy like a CJ Spiller, like a veteran type, he can bounce up from the practice squad every other week, he'll do that.
But 5 out of 11 years he's kept at least three. But keep in mind, most of those years had a fullback as well, so three backs,
right,
and a fullback mixed in that equation for Andy Reid. We'll talk more about the receivers next. Connor Emery, the wide receiver coach, spoke on how the order is kind of shaken out next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Final show on 610 Sports Radio locally. Love national still with Fox, but locally, this is it. Jim Inkley, Chris Nocero. ML Football just retweeted SI Now. Keenan Allen, by the way, the Bears, because he's with the Bears now, not the Chargers anymore, said he's gained 20 pounds and now weighs over 230 pounds.
Well, yeah, he's about to get hit a lot. He ain't got the same agility that he used to have. So he going to be doing a lot of those possession routes underneath. He's going to take some hits. So.
Oh, he's going to be taking hits. There's no question about that. But it'll be interesting to see. And the Chargers without Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. So
I don't have a lot of confidence in the Chargers this year. It's always funny. Like you're seeing not quite as many, but some people are trying to talk themselves into the Chargers again this year. And it's like, come on now. Like, if there's any year where you cannot really feasibly talk yourself into the Chargers, it's the year where they get rid of like all of their good offensive weapons. Like the cupboard's really bare right now. So I kind of feel like this is going to be one of those years where they're going to be looking forward to the 2025 NFL draft.
Oh, and by the way, one of the teams I am really high on to be a surprise team this year is the Colts. Adee Mitchell today again made a ridiculous catch. I think the kid's going to be good, man.
Yeah, I mean, we
like Adee Mitchell.
Going into the draft, he was our favorite receiver to go to the Chiefs because of that combination of size and speed. Right behind him was Xavier Worthy, but the guy that we were looking at was Adee just because he's huge. He's 6'2", 205, and he's got 4.33 speed. I mean, this is not that many receivers with that combination of size and speed. No. So, I think he's going to be a very good wide receiver for the Colts.
Mike Borgonzi of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's the assistant general manager. He's done pro scouting for him before. He's been in the scouting department, done a lot of things, but he's the assistant GM. He spoke about their drafts, and this is kind of funny because they are where they're at because of their drafts.
Years, I think we've done a good job in the draft, you know, adding talent and these guys playing right away, you know, going into the second, third season now. And so that, you know, when you draft well, you don't have to bring in so many guys from the outside. So, you know, I think that's, once again, really a credit to the staff, the college staff throughout the season of just, you know, putting together good drafts.
And that's where they're at right now. They put together good drafts, and you trust the picks that they make. There's a reason why they pick these selections they make. It's that leadership quotient. Jared Wiley's a guy that I think you're really going to like, too, the fourth round pick. And Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks had a nice game.
He was very good against the Jags.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a guy that will love to creep up to the line and do some things. And Nicole Haddon, stuff like that. It's going to take these guys a little bit longer, but Hunter Norzad, I know they really trust him to be the backup center. They can move him at guard in different positions that they have. I actually really like what they're doing with the offensive line. They do have depth there.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of good depth on their offensive line. Right now, I'm feeling like I know a lot of people were really worried about the offensive line situation, especially at left tackle. But, you know, I'm a firm believer you can figure out what the Chiefs think of players based on how they use them in training camp, how they use them in their preseason games. You can kind of figure out what they think of them. And you could clearly tell they really like Sua Mataia. They love the athleticism, and they think he's going to pick this up really quickly. They think he has picked it up really quickly thus far. And so, you know, and just judging by the little bit of time we saw him play
button heads with Josh
last
Allen
Saturday, he was going against Josh Hines Allen, and he was holding his own. There was really
Hines Allen, not bad.
Yeah, he had the hyphen in there now. You watch him, like he had one where he almost gave up a pressure, but he did a good job of recovering after he kind of missed with his punch. But yeah, no, he looked good. He looked like someone, okay, like I can deal. I'm okay with that. The thing I want to see though is how he reacts when somebody gives him a good spin move or someone has a really great first step coming off the edge and they try to hit that rip move and just get around the edge.
Yeah, the reluctance to hold when they get around you.
Yeah, that's going to be something I want. I want to see like how does he respond to like a really good speed rush move?
And how good are you faking and putting your hands off? Going, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like I want to see how he does against a really good speed rush move.
We might see him a little bit more this week. I doubt we see many starters at all that third week.
Yeah, I don't think we see anybody.
A lot of times it's treated like the fourth.
Yeah.
The cuts are going to – so the Chiefs play next Thursday. They'll play this Saturday against the Lions and next Thursday against the Bears. And their final cuts have to be in by 4 o'clock on the 27th, where you go from 90 down to 53. But you'll start seeing the cuts trickling out probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll make their final decisions on Monday. But you'll start seeing the initial cuts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let these guys go catch on with another team. And again, if you're on the bubble with the Chiefs, you know, and you make that 53-man roster, I know the guys are quick to make that phone call, but you always got to be careful because you never know if they're going to find somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the tough part about it is like, you know, you got to worry about, you know, letting some of these guys go. And then you worry about if you're going to be able to keep them on your practice squad because, you know, we've seen that over the years. Chiefs will let guys go and they get scooped up real quick. Who was the guy who got scooped up by the Panthers last year that was like a camp darling?
It was Smith Marset.
Yeah, Amir Smith Marset. That was a guy that everyone loved in training camp last year. And he ended up getting scooped up by the Panthers, put on their roster. I think he had a kick return for a touchdown, I believe, in one of their games. So, like, that was a guy that a lot of us liked. I think if, you know, with hindsight 2020, he probably makes the team over some of these other guys. But, yeah,
leading the league in drops, yeah.
Right, yeah. You know, it was a little tough situation there last year. But, yeah, I mean, like, this year I think the camp is going to – the cuts are going to be tougher at wide receiver. Because I think you feel pretty confident about at least half of the guys that you would have on the roster.
And Justin Ross, we'll get into this at 7 o'clock. Get into some of the receivers, look at the numbers. But Justin Ross has been the camp. Everybody liked him, the camp darling. Last couple of years, Carrington tweeted out last night. No one's really talking about Justin Ross, and this is year he actually had a better camp, than he's had in the past. And I think right now the camp darling. I think people are kind of off the LRZ.
They're 100% off of LRZ because they after that first game, I think everybody realized
he was out today.
Not even the first game. I think you realize after the first week,
it's a different ball game.
It's a different game.
I've always said this with him, Carson Steele. I think grew in a lot of people's minds.
I think he's become the camp darling.
He has, but it's a camp darling that you actually see a good roster spot for.
Right.
A guy that's going to make it. But Justin Ross and others, Connor Embry had comments about the receivers. We'll look at how many they're going to keep because Andy Reid has only kept 7 once in his career. Does he keep that much this year or not? Next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.